Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. On this sacred day, commemorating the appearance of Vamana Dev, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, I will read from the section of Srimad Bhagavatam, which describes his appearance and his most famous activities in relation to Bali Maharaj. I'll read the translations given by Srila Prabhupada. Hopefully, most of you are quite familiar with this narration, but it's not like a novel. You read it once and then you throw it away. This is the matter for hearing eternally. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu recommended study of Bhagavatam. So these are all topics of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, which Parikshit Maharaj heard with great eagerness, despite fasting and not sleeping. Or rather, we can understand that from a somewhat different perspective, that he had taken a vow to fast, and, well, just to fast until the appointed time for his death in 7 days. But by hearing Bhagavatam, he didn't even have any feeling that he wanted to eat or sleep. So we may be a long way away from that level, but remembering the glorious speaker, Shukdev, and the glorious listener, Parikshit, let us also happily hear the pastimes of Lord Vamanadev, beginning in chapter 18 of Canto 8, starting from the first verse. And yeah, I'll just read Srila Prabhupada's translations to the verses. Shukdev Goswami said, after Lord Brahma had thus spoken, because this is, of course, continuing from the previous chapter, or just the background, I guess I should give, that Bali Maharaj, a grandson of Prahlad Maharaj, was descendant of Prahlad Maharaj, means he was born in the dynasty of the demons, but by association with Prahlad Maharaj, he had, as Prahlad had been, he had become a closet Hare Krishna. Means he wasn't known to be, but he was a devotee of Vishnu. At least he didn't make it very much apparent, because Vishnu was, after all, the family enemy, having killed the great respectable forefathers of the dynasty, Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu. So Bali Maharaj, taking power from the Brahmanas headed by Shukracharya, taking power from them means strictly following their instructions, performing sacrifices according to their instructions, had become very powerful. The Vedic mantras, the Vedic process is very powerful, even materially, if properly followed. He had become very powerful, and taking advantage of a discrepancy in the behavior of Indra, the king of heaven, Bali Maharaj, on the advice of his advisors, headed by Shukracharya, attacked the heavenly kingdom. The demigods had become weak due to the misbehavior of Indra. Bali Maharaj was very strong at that time, and Bali Maharaj upset the whole universal situation by invading the heavenly planets and taking it over, and the demigods all ran away. This was the situation Aditi, the mother of the demigods, was mortified, and she prayed to the Supreme Lord, it's time for you to save us again. Of course, she didn't say it in exactly that tone. And the scene is set. In the previous chapter, we had prayers of Brahma also to Lord Vamanadeva in the womb of Aditi. And now it's time for Vamana to appear. Of course, at the time it wasn't known that he was Vamana. Vamana means a dwarf. If people have a child who's undersized, autistic, divinely formed, malformed. We were just discussing in India, they use the term divyanga, divinely formed, but for what used to be called vikalanga, which means wrongly formed, crippled, spastic. They're congenitally spastic. So if people have children like this, they generally become distressed. I'll read. Shukdev Goswami said, after Lord Brahma had thus spoken, glorifying the Supreme Lord's activities and prowess, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is never subject to death like an ordinary living being, appeared from the womb of Aditi. His four hands were decorated with a conch shell, club, lotus and disc. He was dressed in yellow garments and his eyes appeared like the petals of a blooming lotus. No sign of him being a dwarf so far. On the day of Shravana Dwadashi, which it is today here in America, the 12th day of the bright fortnight in the month of Bhadra, when the moon came into the lunar mansion Shravana, that's why it's called Shravana. It's not the month of Shravana, it's the month of Bhadra. The moon came into the lunar mansion Shravana at the auspicious moment of Abhijit, which is also overseen by Shravana. The Lord appeared in this universe. Abhijit means midday. Abhijit Muhurta means midday. And people who are born in that time, it's supposed that they will be successful. They will conquer. The Lord appeared in this universe. Considering the Lord's appearance very auspicious, all the stars and planets from the sun to Saturn were munificently charitable. Every verse could be commented on in great detail, but I'll go through. O King, when the Lord appeared on Dwadashi, the 12th day of the moon, the sun was at the meridian. As every learned scholar knows, this Dwadashi is called Vijaya. So that's another name for this Dwadashi, Vijaya, which gives again the idea of victory. Conch shells, kettle drums. Kettle drum is how Srila Prabhupada translates dundubhi, this kind of drum which is similar to what in Western musicology is called a kettle drum. Then drums, just drum in general. Panavas and arnakas, they're different kinds of drums, vibrated in concert. The sound of these and various other instruments was tumultuous. Being very pleased, the celestial dancing girls, apsaras, danced in jubilation. The best of the Gandharvas sang songs, and the great sages, demigods, manus, pitas, and fire gods offered prayers to satisfy the Lord. The siddhas, vidyadharas, kimpurushas, kinnaras, charanas, yakshas, rakshasas, suparnas, the best of serpents and the followers of the demigods all showered flowers on Aditi's residence, covering the entire house, while glorifying and praising the Lord and dancing. When Aditi saw the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who had appeared from her own womb, having accepted a transcendental body upon body by his own spiritual potency, she was struck with wonder and was very happy. Upon seeing the child, Prajapati Kashyapa exclaimed, "Jai, Jai!" in great happiness and wonder. The Lord appeared in his original form with ornaments and weapons in his hand. Although this ever-existing form is not visible in the material world, he nonetheless appeared in this form. Then in the presence of his father and mother, he assumed the form of Vamana, a Brahmana dwarf, a Brahmachari, just like a theatrical actor. So he appeared in his original Vishnu form, and then he took the form of a Brahmana dwarf, Brahmachari. When the great sages saw the Lord as the Brahmachari dwarf Vamana, they were certainly very pleased. Thus they placed before them Kashyapa Muni, the Prajapati, and performed all the ritualistic ceremonies, such as the birthday ceremony. Yeah, birthday means the day they're born. We say birthday to mean the birthday anniversary. But birthday actually, you actually only have one birthday in your life, right? You're only born once. At the sacred thread ceremony of Vamanadeva, the sun god personally uttered the Gayatri mantra. Brihaspati offered the sacred thread, and Kashyapa Muni offered a straw belt. Mother Earth gave him a deer skin, and the demigod of the moon, who is the king of the forest, gave him a Brahmadanda, the rod of a Brahmachari. His mother, Aditi, gave him cloth for underwear, and the deity presiding over the heavenly kingdom offered him an umbrella. O king, Lord Brahma offered a water pot to the inexhaustible Supreme Personality of Godhead. The seven sages offered him kusha grass, and Mother Saraswati gave him a string of Rudraksha beads. When Vamanadeva had thus been given the sacred thread, Kuvera, king of the Yakshas, gave him a pot for begging alms, and Mother Bhagavati, the wife of Lord Shiva and most chaste mother of the entire universe, gave him his first alms. Having thus been welcomed by everyone, Lord Vamanadeva, the best of the Brahmacharis, exhibited his Brahman effulgence. Thus he surpassed in beauty that entire assembly, which was filled with great saintly Brahmanas. After Lord Sri Vamanadeva set a sacrificial fire, he offered, worshipped, and performed a fire sacrifice on the sacrificial field. When the Lord heard that Bali Maharaj was performing Ashvamedha sacrifices under the patronage of Brahmanas belonging to the Bhrigu dynasty, the Supreme Lord, who is full in every respect, proceeded there to show his mercy to Bali Maharaja. By his weight, he pushed down the earth with every step. That's all the more surprising, seeing as he has such a small form. While engaged in performing the sacrifice in the field, known as Bhrigu Katcha, on the northern bank of the Narmada River, the Brahminical priests, the descendants of Bhrigu, saw Vamanadeva to be like the sun rising nearby. O king, because of Vamanadeva's bright effulgence, the priests, along with Bali Maharaj and all the members of the assembly, were robbed of their splendor. Thus they began to ask one another whether the sun god himself, Sanat Kumar, or the fire god had personally come to see the sacrificial ceremony. While the priests of the Bhrigu dynasty and their disciples talked and argued in various ways, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vamanadeva, holding in his hands the rod, the umbrella, and a water pot full of water, entered the arena of the Ashvamedha sacrifice. Yeah, Vamanadeva is always depicted with a Brahmachari rod, a water pot, and an umbrella, but not the kind of umbrella you get nowadays. It's made from cane, the whole thing, bamboo holder, and then it's made from cane like this. It's not a folding umbrella. Appearing as a Brahmana boy wearing a belt of straw, a sacred thread, an upper garment of deer skin, and matted locks of hair, Lord Vamanadeva entered the arena of sacrifice. His brilliant effulgence diminished the brilliance of all the priests and their disciples, who thus stood from their seats and welcomed the Lord properly by offering obeisances. Bali Maharaj, jubilant at seeing Lord Vamanadeva, whose beautiful limbs contributed equally to the beauty of his entire body, offered him a seat with great satisfaction. Here the word is given Yajamanaha for Bali Maharaj. He's the sponsor, inaugurator of the sacrifice. So he's very happy that such an obviously great personality has come to the sacrifice which he is sponsoring, because that will increase its efficacy. Thus offering a proper reception to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is always beautiful to the liberated souls, Bali Maharaj worshipped him by washing his lotus feet. Lord Shiva, the best of demigods, who carries on his forehead the emblem of the moon, receives on his head with great devotion the Ganges water emanating from the toe of Vishnu. Being aware of religious principles, Bali Maharaj knew this. Consequently, following in the footsteps of Lord Shiva, he also placed on his head the water that had washed the Lord's lotus feet. This time he may not have known that Vamana is Vishnu, but he considers that the water that washes the feet of a Brahmana is like Ganga water also, as good as, if not better than, the water that washes the feet of Vishnu and becomes the Ganga. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, as Nimai Pandit, in his early life, once he was very sick, and doctors were coming and they couldn't decide what was wrong. And he said, I need the water which has washed the feet of Brahmanas. So that was given to him, and then he was cured. These are all the pastimes of the Lord. Continuing, Bali Maharaj then said to Lord Vamanadeva, O Brahmana, I offer you my hearty welcome and my respectful obeisances. Please let us know what we may do for you. We think of you as the personified austerity of the great Brahmana sages. O my Lord, because you have kindly arrived at our home, all my forefathers are satisfied. Our family and entire dynasty have been sanctified, and the sacrifices we are performing is now complete because of your presence. O son of a Brahmana, today the fire of sacrifice is ablaze according to the injunction of the Shastra, and I have been freed from all the sinful reactions of my life by the water that has washed your lotus feet. O my Lord, by the touch of your small lotus feet, the entire surface of the world has been sanctified. O son of a Brahmana, it appears that you have come here to ask me for something, because generally Brahmanas will approach kings if the Brahmanas want some charity from the kings, and especially in a big public sacrifice. The kings are expected to give very liberally. Therefore, whatever you want, you may take from me. O best of those who are worshipable, you may take from me a cow, gold, a furnished house, palatable food and drink, the daughter of a Brahmana for your wife, prosperous villages, horses, elephants, chariots, or whatever you desire. Chapter 19. Shukadeva Goswami continued, when the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vamanadeva, heard Bali Maharaj speaking in this pleasing way, he was very satisfied, for Bali Maharaj had spoken in terms of religious principles. Thus the Lord began to praise him. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, O King, you are indeed exalted, because your present advisors are the Brahmanas who are descendants of Bhrigu. and because your instructor for your future life is your grandfather, the peaceful and venerable Prahlad Maharaj. Your statements are very true, and they completely agree with religious etiquette. They are in keeping with the behavior of your family, and they enhance your reputation. So this is the culture. The king will welcome the brahmana with words of honor, and then the brahmana will honor the kshatriya. And a major way to honor someone in Vedic culture is to speak of their forefathers and the great deeds that they did. I know, Vamanadeva continues, that even until now, no one taking birth in your family has been poor-minded or miserly. No one has refused to give charity to brahmanas, nor after promising to give charity has anyone failed to fulfill his promise. So Vamana is setting up Bali Maharaj here. That, right, no one in your family ever cheats. When they say they're going to give something in charity, you're going to give it. O King Bali, never in your dynasty has the low-minded king been born who, upon being requested, has refused charity to brahmanas in holy places or a fight to kshatriyas in a battlefield. And your dynasty is even more glorious due to the presence of Prahlad Maharaj, who is like the beautiful moon in the sky. It was in your dynasty that Hiranyaksha was born. So he's praising Hiranyaksha. He was a great personality, no doubt, Hiranyaksha. Carrying only his own club, he wandered the globe alone without assistance to conquer all directions, and no hero he met could rival him. When delivering the earth from the Garbhodaka sea, Lord Vishnu, in his incarnation as a boar, killed Hiranyaksha, who had appeared before him. The fight was severe, and the Lord killed Hiranyaksha with great difficulty. Later, as the Lord thought about the uncommon prowess of Hiranyaksha, he felt himself victorious indeed. When Hiranyakashipu heard the news of his brothers being killed, with great anger, he went to the residence of Vishnu, the killer of his brother, wanting to kill Lord Vishnu. Seeing Hiranyakashipu coming forward, bearing a trident in his hand like personified death, Lord Vishnu, the best of all mystics and the knower of the progress of time, thought as follows. Wheresoever I go, Hiranyakashipu will follow me, as death follows all living entities. Therefore it is better for me to enter the core of his heart, for then, because of his power to see only externally, he will not see me. So Vishnu thought that it's better to hide away. I'll hide in his heart, because he'll never expect to find me there. Not in his heart, maybe in someone else's heart. Lord Vamanadeva continued, O king of the demons, after Lord Vishnu made this decision, he entered the body of his enemy, Hiranyakashipu, who was running after him with great force. In a subtle body inconceivable to Hiranyakashipu, Lord Vishnu, who was in great anxiety, entered Hiranyakashipu's nostril along with his breath. In the purport, Srila Prabhupada, according to one of the previous commentators, says that the word vivighna cheta, very anxious, is significant. He's very anxious. Why is he anxious? It is not that Lord Vishnu was afraid of Hiranyakashipu, rather because of compassion, Lord Vishnu was in anxiety about how to act for his welfare. But to others it may have seemed that Lord Vishnu was in anxiety out of fear. Upon seeing that the residence of Lord Vishnu was vacant, Hiranyakashipu began searching for Lord Vishnu everywhere. Angry at not seeing him, Hiranyakashipu screamed loudly and searched the entire universe, including the surface of the earth, the higher planetary systems, all directions and all the caves and oceans, but Hiranyakashipu, the greatest hero, did not see Vishnu anywhere. He's everywhere, but unless we have the eyes to see him, we can't see him anywhere. Unable to see him, Hiranyakashipu said, I have searched the entire universe, but I could not find Vishnu, who has killed my brother. Therefore, he must certainly have gone to that place from which no one returns. In other words, he must now be dead. Hiranyakashipu's anger against Lord Vishnu persisted until his death. Other people in the bodily concept of life maintain anger only because of false ego and the great influence of ignorance. Your father Virocham, the son of Maharaj Prahlad, was very affectionate toward Brahmanas, although he knew very well that it was the demigods who had come to him in the dress of Brahmanas. At their request, he delivered to them the duration of his life. In other words, he died. There are different stories and different Puranas about Virochana. One of them is that Indra went to Virocha and said, I want to beg something from you. Yes, what do you want? Give me your head. This way, Virocha, the powerful king of the demons, died. You, Vamanadev speaking again to Bali, you also have observed the principles followed by great personalities who are householder brahmanas, by your forefathers and by great heroes who are extremely famous for their exalted activities. In other words, Vaman is saying, you are set up to be remembered as a great hero. O king of the Daityas, from your majesty, who come from such a noble family, and who are able to give charity munificently. So, Bali Maharaj is listening to all this. Yes, yes, he's praising me. That's normal. When people want something, they pray. So now he's going to ask, he's praised me so much, so now he's going to ask for something very big. And I'll give it. Bali Maharaj was ready to give it. But Bali Maharaj said, I ask only 3 paces of land, which isn't very much, to the measurement of my steps. And he's only a tiny little boy. So we're talking about practically nothing here. O King, controller of the entire universe, although you are very munificent and able to give me as much land as I want, I do not want anything from you that is unnecessary. If a learned brahmana takes charity from others only according to his needs, he does not become entangled in sinful activities. Take what we need, nothing more. That's the message. Bali Maharaj said, O son of a brahmana, your instructions are as good as those of learned and elderly persons. Nonetheless, you are a boy and your intelligence is insufficient. Thus, you are not very prudent in regard to your self-interest. I am able to give you an entire island, which means just like we have the different islands, Jambudvip, we're on Jambudvip. I'm able to give you an entire island because I am the proprietor of the 3 divisions of the universe. You have come to take something from me and have pleased me by your sweet words, but you are asking only 3 paces of land. Therefore, you're not very intelligent. O small boy, one who approaches me to beg something should not have to ask anything more anywhere. In other words, I'm going to give you this 3 steps of land. It's going to be insufficient for you. You're going to have to go and beg from someone else. Why don't you just beg from me? I'll give you whatever you need. Therefore, if you wish, you can ask me from me as much land as will suffice to maintain you according to your needs. The personality of Godhead said, Oh, my dear king, even the entirety of what there may be within the 3 worlds to satisfy one's senses cannot satisfy a person whose senses are uncontrolled. So Vamana starts speaking philosophy to Bali Maharaj. Shouldn't take more than you need, which is all quite curious because 3 steps by his own measurement doesn't seem to be enough. But Vamana is saying, no, you shouldn't take more than you need. Vamana says, if I were not satisfied with 3 paces of land, then surely I would not be satisfied even with possessing one of the 7 islands consisting of 9 varshas. Even if I possessed 1 island, I would hope to get others. That's an unusual or a strange phenomenon that people, it's often people who are very rich and who own many things who are most interested in accumulating more. We have heard that although powerful kings like Maharaj Prithu and Maharaj Gaya achieved proprietorship over the 7 dvipas. Dvipa means island. That means, you know, within this world there are 7 big islands. Over the 7 dvipas, they could not achieve satisfaction or find the end of their ambitions. See, you earn so much, you get so much, and still you're not happy. It's the same thing. Same thing's been going on for millions of years. One should be satisfied with whatever he achieves by his previous destiny, for discontent can never bring happiness. A person who is not self-controlled will not be happy even with possessing the 3 worlds. Everything Vamana says is correct, but it's all cheating, because he's pretending that I'll just be satisfied with a little land. Don't induce me to take a lot of land. We should just be satisfied with whatever little we get. Vamana continues. Very important instruction, very pertinent instruction for all of us. Material existence causes discontent in regard to fulfilling one's lusty desires and achieving more and more money. This is the cause for the continuation of material life, which is full of repeated birth and death. But one who is satisfied by that which is obtained by destiny is fit for liberation from this material existence. A Brahmana who is satisfied with whatever is providentially obtained is increasingly enlightened with spiritual power, but the spiritual potency of a dissatisfied Brahmana decreases as fire diminishes in potency when water is sprinkled upon it. So we get more power by sticking to the process and being detached from desires for material prosperity and advancement. Therefore, O King, from you, the best of those who give charity, I ask only 3 paces of land. By such a gift I shall be very pleased, for the way of happiness is to be fully satisfied, to receive that which is absolutely needed. Sri Shukadeva Goswami said, when the Supreme Personality of Godhead had thus spoken to Bali Maharaj, Bali smiled and told him, all right, take whatever you like. To confirm his promise to give Vamanadeva the desired land, he then took up his water pot. Understanding Lord Vishnu's purpose, Shukracharya, the best of the learned, immediately spoke as follows to his disciple, who was about to offer everything to Lord Vamanadeva and Shukra, saying, what's going on? He was watching this and seeing how it would turn out, and if Bali Maharaj would renege on his promise, but it's going ahead, and Shukra saying, what's going on? You know, we spent years preparing, doing all the sacrifices, building up your piety, building up your strength. We took over the heavenly planets, and now this Vishnu is going to take it all away again. How did Shukra know? Well, I guess he read the Srimad Bhagavatam, because it goes, Mahotsa distributed a set to him. Maybe, who knows? Because it goes on in cycles, cyclic time. The same kind of thing happens again and again. Shukracharya said, O son of Virochana, he's stressing to Bali that you see, it's the demigods again. And your father was killed. Your father, Virochana, was killed due to being the same thing as you, being attached to Brahminical culture. He promised to give something, and he was cheated because Indra came in the form of Brahmana, and he asked for charity. He said, and Virochana said, whatever you want to give. He understood it was Indra in the dress of a Brahmana, but still he thought, well, he's come in the dress of a Brahmana, and my promise is to, that's my vow, whatever a Brahmana asks, I'll give. So Indra said, give me a head. Okay. That way, Virochana, who was very powerful, was killed. So Shukracharya says, O son of Virochana, this Brahmacharya in the form of a dwarf is directly the imperishable Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vishnu. Generally, the demons don't even like to say the name of Vishnu, but he's saying it to shock Bali Mahar. It's Vishnu. It's Vishnu. Ah. It's our enemy. It's him. You expect Vishnu to be a huge form, very powerful, and you've got this little Vamana who's, they're all looking down at him. Looking down at him. He's instructing them with his little lisping voice. A Brahmana should be satisfied. Just like a little boy accepting Kashyap Muni as his father and Aditi as his mother, he has now appeared in order to fill the interests of the demigods. You do not know what a dangerous position you have accepted by promising to give him land. I do not think that this promise is good for you. It will bring great harm to the demons. So Shukra is doing his duty here. And whatever he's saying, he expects Bali to follow because Bali has become so powerful by following exactly what Shukra said, what his guru said. But now Shukra himself is doubtful. This Vishnu, this Vishnu has some kind of mystic potency in which he's able, my good disciple, I'm so pleased with him. And now this Vishnu has come and looks like he's messing up his mind. Shukra continues, this person falsely appearing as a brahmachari is actually the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Hari, who has come in this form to take away all your land, wealth, beauty, power, fame, and education. After taking everything from you, he will deliver it to Indra, your enemy. You have promised to give him 3 steps of land in charity, but when you give it, he will occupy the 3 worlds. You are a rascal! You do not know what a great mistake you have made. After giving everything to Vishnu, you will have no means of livelihood. How then shall you live? Sarvasvam Vishnave Dattva Mudha Vatishyase Katam. How will you live? But Shukra was thinking, well, I'm dependent on Bali Maharaj. How will I live if he gives everything away? How will we all live, all the demons? Vamanadeva will first occupy the 3 worlds with 1 step, then he will take his 2nd step and occupy everything in outer space, and then he will expand his universal body to occupy everything. Where will you offer him the 3rd step? You will certainly be unable to fulfill your promise. Oh, that's something that Bali Maharaj, that should wake him up. Unable, I've given a promise and I'm unable to fulfill it, and I think that because of this inability, your eternal residence will be in hell. Learned scholars, do not praise that charity which endangers one's own livelihood. Charity, sacrifice, austerity, and fruitive activities are possible for one who is competent to earn his livelihood properly. They are not possible for one who cannot maintain himself. Therefore, one who is in full knowledge should divide his accumulated wealth in 5 parts, for religion, for reputation, for opulence, for sense gratification, and for the maintenance of his family members. Such a person is happy in this world and the next. One might argue that since you have already promised, how can you refuse, O best of the demons? Just take from me the evidence of the Bhavritcha Shruti, which says that a promise is truthful preceded by the word Om and untruthful if not. The Vedas enjoin that the factual result of the tree of the body is the good fruits and flowers derived from it. But if the bodily tree does not exist, there is no possibility of factual fruits and flowers. Even if the body is based on untruth, there cannot be factual fruits and flowers without the help of the bodily tree. When a tree is uprooted, it immediately falls down and begins to dry up. Similarly, if one doesn't take care of the body, which is supposed to be untruth, in other words, if the untruth is uprooted, the body undoubtedly becomes dry. So he's giving the philosophy of look after yourself first. Before you try to do good for others, look after yourself first. And of course, Shukracharya is speaking in terms of bodily welfare. The utterance of the word Om signifies separation from one's monetary assets. In other words, by uttering this word, one becomes free from attachment to money because his money is taken away from him, which in Shukra's outlook isn't. Your money becomes separated from you? That's not good. To be without money is not very satisfactory, for in that position one cannot fulfill one's desires. In other words, by using the word Om, one becomes poverty-stricken. See all those brahmanas, they're chanting Om, they're all poverty-stricken. Especially when one gives charity to a poor man or beggar, one remains unfulfilled in self-realization and in sense gratification. So here we have Shukra speaking, which from one perspective is true, but from the transcendental perspective is not proper. Therefore, Shukra continues, the safe course is to say no. Although it is a falsehood, it protects one completely, it draws the compassion of others toward oneself, and it gives one full facility to collect money from others for oneself. Nonetheless, if one always pleads that he is nothing, he is condemned, for he is a dead body while living, or while still breathing, he should be killed. So in other words, Shukra is saying that, yeah, giving charity is good, but not too much. Don't give everything. In flattering a woman to bring her under control, in joking, in a marriage ceremony, in earning one's livelihood, when one's life is in danger, in protecting cows and Brahminical culture, or in protecting a person from an enemy's hand, falsity is never condemned. End of the chapter. It's a tense moment. Sri Shukadev Goswami said, O King Parikshit, when Bali Maharaj was thus advised by his spiritual master Shukracharya, his family priest, he remained silent for some time. Thinking. He wasn't thinking whether to follow Shukra and do what he said, whether or not he should do it, but he was just thinking how he should reply to Shukracharya. After full deliberation, he replied to his spiritual master as follows. Bali Maharaj said, as you have already stated, the principle of religion that does not hinder one's economic development, sense gratification, fame, and means of livelihood is the real occupational duty of the householder. I also think that this religious principle is correct. I am the grandson of Maharaj Prahlad. How can I withdraw my promise because of greed for money when I have already said that I shall give this land? How can I behave like an ordinary cheater, especially toward a Brahmana? There is nothing more sinful than untruthfulness. Because of this, Mother Earth once said, I can bear any heavy thing except a person who is a liar. So you can see that Shukra made a very good case, but you have to listen to the other case also. Bali Maharaj's case is more compelling. Bali says, I do not fear hell, poverty, and ocean of distress fall down from my position, or even death itself, as much as I fear cheating a brahmana. My Lord, you can also see that all the material opulences of this world are certainly separated from their possessor at death. Therefore, if the brahmana Vamanadeva is not satisfied by whatever gifts one has given, why not please him with the riches one is destined to lose at death? Dadhichi, Shibi, and many other great personalities were willing to sacrifice even their lives for the benefit of the people in general. This is the evidence of history, so why not give up this insignificant land? What is the serious consideration against it? O best of the brahmanas, certainly the great demoniac kings, who were never reluctant to fight, enjoyed this world, but in due course of time everything they had was taken away except their reputation, by which they continue to exist. Kirtir yasya sajivati, the same thing was said by Karna. Now, one lives by one's reputation. In other words, one should try to achieve a good reputation instead of anything else. Now, this isn't exactly pure devotion, is it? But Bali Maharaj is speaking on the mundane platform to Shukra. So even on a mundane platform, he's telling Shukra that, yeah, you can. You're talking about having opulence and looking after yourself, but the best thing is to have a good reputation, more than anything. O best of the brahmanas, many men have laid down their lives on the battlefield, being unafraid of fighting, but rarely has one gotten the chance to give his accumulated wealth faithfully to a saintly person who creates holy places. By giving charity, a benevolent and merciful person undoubtedly becomes even more auspicious, especially when he gives charity to a person like your good self. Under the circumstances, I must give this little brahmachari whatever charity he wants from me. O great sage, great saintly persons like you, being completely aware of the Vedic principles for performing ritualistic ceremonies and yajnas, worship Lord Vishnu in all circumstances. Therefore, whether that same Lord Vishnu has come here to give me all benedictions or to punish me as an enemy, I must carry out his order and give him the requested tract of land without hesitation. So in other words, he's telling Shukra that I'm not going to do what you say. I'm going to do what I said. Although he is Vishnu himself, out of fear he has covered himself in the form of a brahmana to come to me begging. Under the circumstances, because he has assumed the form of a brahmana, even if he irreligiously arrests me or even kills me, I shall not retaliate, although he is my enemy. If this brahmana really is Lord Vishnu, who is worshipped by Vedic hymns, he would never give up his widespread reputation. Either he would lie down having been killed by me, or he would kill me in a fight. Sri Shukadeva Goswami continued, thereafter the spiritual master Shukracharya, being inspired by the Supreme Lord, cursed his exalted disciple Bali Maharaj, who was so magnanimous and fixed in truthfulness that instead of respecting his spiritual master's instructions, he wanted to disobey his order. So Bali already gave his word and Shukra is telling him to renege, but Bali is sticking to his order, and now Shukra, being inspired from within the heart by the same Vishnu who is standing before them, says to his disciple, although you have no knowledge, you have become a so-called learned person, and therefore you dare be so impudent as to disobey my order. Because of disobeying me, you shall very soon be bereft of all your opulence. And it came to pass. Very soon. Shukadeva Goswami continued, although he lost his royal opulence, but he attained undying spiritual opulence. Shukadeva Goswami continued, even after being cursed in this way by his own spiritual master, Bali Maharaj, being a great personality, never deviated from his determination. Therefore, according to custom, he first offered water to Vamanadeva and then offered him the gift of land he had promised. Bali Maharaj's wife, known as Vindhyavali, who was decorated with a necklace of pearls, immediately came and had a large golden water pot brought there, full of water with which to worship the Lord by washing his feet. Bali Maharaj, the worshipper of Lord Vamanadeva, jubilantly washed the Lord's lotus feet and then took the water on his head, for that water delivers the entire universe. And there's Shukra watching, feeling helpless. All the demons watching, they're not going to interfere in an exchange between their king and their guru. At that time, the residents of the higher planetary system, namely the demigods, the Gandharvas, the Vidyadharas, the Siddhas, and the Charanas, all being very pleased by Bali Maharaj's simple, non-duplicitous act, praised his qualities and showered upon him millions of flowers. The Gandharvas, the Kimpurushas, and the Kinnaras sounded thousands and thousands of kettle drums and trumpets again and again, and they sang in great jubilation, declaring, "How exalted a person is Bali Maharaj, and what a difficult task he has performed." Even though he knew that Lord Vishnu was on the side of his enemies, he nonetheless gave the Lord the entire three worlds in charity. The unlimited supreme personality of Godhead, who had assumed the form of Vamana, then began increasing in size, acting in terms of the material energy until everything in the universe was within his body, including the earth, the planetary systems, the sky, the directions, the various holes in the universe. There are holes in the universe. You ever heard about that, going through the hole in from one part of the universe to another? The various holes in the universe, the seas, the oceans, the birds, beasts, human beings, the demigods, and the great saintly persons. Bali Maharaj, along with all the priests, acharyas, and members of the assembly, observed the Supreme Personality of Godhead's universal body, which was full of six opulences. That body contained everything within the universe, including all the gross material elements, the senses, the sense objects, the mind, intelligence and false ego, the various kinds of living entities, and the actions and reactions of the three modes of material nature. Thereafter, Bali Maharaj, who was occupying the seat of King Indra, could see the lower planetary systems, such as Rasatala, on the soles of the feet of the Lord's universal form. He saw on the Lord's feet the surface of the globe, on the surface of his calves, all the mountains, on his knees, the various birds, and on his thighs, the varieties of air. Bali Maharaj saw beneath the garments of the Lord, who acts wonderfully, the evening twilight. In the Lord's private parts, he saw the Prajapatis, and in the round portion of the waist, he saw himself with his confidential associates. In the Lord's navel, he saw the sky. On the Lord's waist, he saw the seven oceans, and on the Lord's bosom, he saw all the clusters of stars. My dear king, on the heart of Lord Murari, he saw religion. On the chest, both pleasing words and truthfulness. In the mind, the moon. On the bosom, the goddess of fortune with a lotus flower in her hand. On the neck, all the Vedas and all sound vibrations. On the arms, all the demigods headed by King Indra. In both ears, all the directions. On the head, the upper planetary systems. On the hair, the clouds. In the nostrils, the wind. On the eyes, the sun. And in the mouth, fire. From his words came all the Vedic mantras. On his tongue was the demigod of water, Varunadev. On his eyebrows were the regulative principles, and on his eyelids were day and night. When his eyes were open, it was daytime, and when they were closed, it was night. On his forehead was anger, and on his lips was greed. O king, in his touch were lusty desires. In his semen were all the waters. On his back was irreligion, and in his semen, And in his wonderful activities or steps was the fire of sacrifice. On his shadow was death. In his smile was the illusory energy. And on the hairs of his body were all the drugs and herbs. In his veins were all the rivers. On his nails were all the stones. In his intelligence were Lord Brahma, the demigods and the great saintly persons. And throughout his entire body and senses were all living entities, moving and stationary. Bali Maharaj thus saw everything in the gigantic body of the Lord. O King, when all the demons, the followers of Maharaj Bali, saw the universal form of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who held everything within his body, when they saw in the Lord's hand his disc, known as the Sudarshan Chakra, which generates intolerable heat, and when they heard the tumultuous sound of his bow, all of these caused lamentation within their hearts. The devotees are very happy to see this, and demons are very unhappy. The Lord's conch shell, named Panchajanya, which made sounds like that of a cloud. The very forceful club named Komodaki. The sword named Vidyadhara, with a shield decorated with hundreds of moon-like spots. And also Akshayasayaka, the best of quivers. All of these appeared together to offer prayers to the Lord. These associates, headed by Sunanda and other chief associates and accompanied by all the predominating deities of the various planets, offered prayers to the Lord, who wore a brilliant helmet, bracelets and glittering earrings that resembled fish. On the Lord's bosom were the lock of hair called Srivatsa and the transcendental jewel named Kaustubha. He wore a yellow garment covered by a belt, and he was decorated by a flower garland surrounded by bees. Manifesting himself in this way, O King, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, whose activities are wonderful, after all, covered the entire surface of the Lord with one footstep, the sky with his body, and all directions with his arms. As the Lord took his second step, he covered the heavenly planets, and not even a spot remained for the third step, for the Lord's foot extended higher and higher beyond Maharaloka, Janaloka, Tapoloka, and even Satyaloka. Shukdev Goswami continued, when Lord Brahma, who was born of a lotus flower, saw that the effulgence of his residence, Brahmaloka, had been reduced by the glaring effulgence from the toenails of Lord Vamanadeva, he approached the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Lord Brahma was accompanied by all the great sages, headed by Marichi, and by yogis like Sanandana, but in the presence of that glaring effulgence, O King, even Lord Brahma and his associates seemed insignificant. Among the great personalities who came to worship the lotus feet of the Lord were those who had attained perfection in self-control and regulated principles, as well as experts in logic, history, general education, and the Vedic literature known as Kalpa, dealing with old historical incidents. Others were expert in Vedic corollaries like Brahma Samhita, all the other knowledge of the Vedas, Sama, Yajur, Rig, and Atharva, and also the supplementary Vedic knowledge, Ayurveda, Dhanurveda, etc. Others were those who had been freed of the reactions to fruitive activities by transcendental knowledge awakened by the practice of yoga, and still others were those who had attained residence in Brahmaloka not by ordinary karma, but by advanced Vedic knowledge. After devotedly worshipping the upraised lotus feet of the Supreme Lord with oblations of water, Lord Brahma, who was born of the lotus emanating from Lord Vishnu's navel, offered prayers to the Lord. O King, the water from Lord Brahma's Kamandalu washed the lotus feet of Lord Vamanadeva, who is known as Urukrama, the wonderful actor. So Brahma also washed his feet. Thus that water became so pure that it was transformed into the water of the Ganges, which went flowing down from the sky, purifying the three worlds like the pure fame of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Lord Brahma and all the predominating deities of the various planetary systems began to worship Lord Vamanadeva, their supreme master, who had reduced himself from his all-pervading form to his original form. So he took a huge form, covered the universe, and then went back to his original form. Reduced his sight to the Vamana form. They collected all the ingredients and paraphernalia for this worship. They worshipped the Lord by offering fragrant flowers, water, padya and argya, sandalwood pulp and agaru pulp, incense, lamps, fused rice, unbroken grains, fruits, roots and sprouts. While so doing, they offered prayers indicating the glorious activities of the Lord and shouted, Jai! Jai! They also danced, played instruments, sang, sounded conch shells and beat kettle drums, in this way worshipping the Lord. Jambavan, king of the bears, also joined in the ceremony. Sounding his bugle in all directions, he declared a great festival for Lord Vamanadeva's victory. When the demoniac followers of Maharaj Bali saw that their master, who had been determined in performing sacrifice, had lost all his possessions to Vamanadeva, who had taken them away on the plea of begging 3 paces of land, they were very angry and spoke as follows. This Vamana is certainly not a Brahmana, but the best of cheetahs, Lord Vishnu. At least they recognize he's the best. Assuming the form of a Brahmana, he has covered his own form, and thus he is working for the interests of the demigods. Our Lord Bali Maharaj, because of his position in performing the yajna, has the power to given up the power to punish. Taking advantage of this, our eternal enemy Vishnu, dressed in the form of a brahmachari beggar, has taken away all his possessions. That's against dharma, isn't it? Take advantage of someone who's performing a sacrifice to cheat him. Our Lord Bali Maharaj is always fixed in truthfulness, and this is especially so at present, since he has been initiated into performing a sacrifice. He is always kind and merciful toward the Brahmanas, and he cannot at any time speak lies. Therefore, it is our duty to kill this Vamanadeva, Lord Vishnu. They never learn. Hiranyaksha tried to kill Vishnu. Hiranyakashipu tried to kill Vishnu. They thought, well, now he's in a small form. And just forgetting he had just shown himself covering the whole universe. Now he's a little boy. We can kill him. Oh, he's a Brahmin. No, he's not. He's Vishnu. It is our religious principle and the way to serve our master. After making this decision, the demoniac followers of Maharaj Bali took up their various weapons with a view to killing Vamanadeva. Oh, king, the demons, aggravated by their usual anger, took their lances and tridents in hand, and against the will of Bali Maharaj, they pushed forward to kill Lord Vamanadeva. O king, when the associates of Lord Vishnu saw the soldiers of the demons coming forward in violence, they smiled. Taking up their weapons, they forbade the demons to continue their attempt. Nanda, Sunanda, Jaya, Vijay, Prabala, Bala, Kumuda, Kumudaksha, Vishvaksena, Patrati Rat, Garuda, Jayanta, Shrutadev, Pushpadanta, and Sattvata were all associates of Lord Vishnu. They were as powerful as 10,000 elephants, and now they began killing the soldiers of the demons. When Bali Maharaj saw that his own soldiers were being killed by the associates of Lord Vishnu, he remembered the curse of Shukracharya and forbade his soldiers to continue fighting. O Viprachiti, O Rahu, O Nemi, please hear my words. Don't fight! Stop! Immediately, for the present time is not in our favor. O Daityas, by human efforts no one can supersede the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who can bring happiness and distress to all living entities. The supreme time factor, which represents the Supreme Person, was previously in our favor and not in favor of the demigods, but now that same time factor is against us. No one can surpass the time representation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead by material power, by the council of ministers, by intelligence, by diplomacy, by fortresses, by mystic mantra, by drugs, by herbs, or by any other means. In other words, if the time, at a certain time something is meant to happen, there's no way you can counteract it. Previously, being empowered by providence, you defeated a great number of such followers of Lord Vishnu, but today those same followers, having defeated us, are roaring in jubilation like lions. Unless providence is in our favor, we shall not be able to gain victory. Therefore, we must wait for that favorable time when our defeating them will be possible. Shukdev Goswami continued, O King, in accordance with the order of their master, Bali Maharaj, all the chiefs of the demons and the daityas entered the lower regions of the universe to which they were driven by the soldiers of Vishnu. Thereafter, on the day of Somapana, after the sacrifice was finished, Garuda, king of the birds, understanding the desire of his master, arrested Bali Maharaj with the ropes of Varuna. So they let Bali Maharaj continue the sacrifice. Okay, now it's over. Now we're going to arrest you, as Shukra had prophesied. When Bali Maharaj was thus arrested by Lord Vishnu, who is the most powerful, there was a great roar of lamentation in all directions throughout the upper and lower planetary systems of the universe. Didn't seem very good, right? He's a nice king, good man, and still he's arrested. O King, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vamanadeva, then spoke to Bali Maharaj, the most liberal and celebrated personality whom he had arrested with the ropes of Varuna. Bali Maharaj had lost all bodily luster, but he was nonetheless fixed in his determination. So, Vamanadeva says, O King of the demons, you have promised to give me 3 steps of land, but I have occupied the entire universe with 2 steps. Now think where I should put my third. As far as the sun and moon shine with the stars, and as far as the clouds pour rain, all the land throughout the universe is in your possession. Speaking in the past tense, yeah, because he took it all away. Of these possessions, with 1 step, I have occupied Bhurloka, and with my body, I have occupied the entire sky and all directions. And in your presence, with my 2nd step, I have occupied the upper planetary system. Because you have been unable to give charity according to your promise, the rule is that you should go down to live in the hellish planets. Therefore, in accordance with the order of Shukracharya, your spiritual master, now go down and live there. So it's a very intricate and charming leela, because Shukra said, Vishnu will throw you down, and Vishnu is saying that Bali Maharaj said, I have to be truthful, I have to fulfill my promise to Vishnu, and Vishnu said, you couldn't fulfill your promise, so you'll have to go down. But actually he sends him down, and we'll see, it's a better place than even the heavenly planets. Far from being elevated to the heavenly planets or fulfilling one's desire, one who does not properly give a beggar what he has promised falls down to a hellish condition of life. Being falsely proud of your possessions, you promised to give me land, but you could not fulfill your promise. Vipralamda, the word is used. You cheated me. You cheated me. Therefore, because your promise was false, you must live for a few years in hellish life. But it's not actually hellish, as you'll see. So it's all a very sweet pastime going on here, that Shukra is telling Bali, you promised to give me 3 steps of land. You were trying to talk me out of it. Now I know why, because you couldn't give it. You're just a big boaster. You couldn't give it. Shukdev Goswami, O King, although the Supreme Personality of Godhead was superficially seen to have acted mischievously toward Bali Maharaj, Bali Maharaj was fixed in his determination, considering himself not to have fulfilled his promise. He spoke as follows. Bali Maharaj said, O best personality of Godhead, most worshipable for all the demigods, if you think that my promise has become false, I shall certainly rectify matters to make it truthful. I cannot allow my promise to be false. Please therefore place your third lotus footstep on my head. So that's very beautiful. Putting the head of the Lord, the foot of the Lord on his head. That means, although Bali Maharaj was the Lord of the universe, subservient to none, well, in one sense he was subservient to Shukra, but not in the sense of not in the sense of total surrender to him, as we can see. But asking, he never asked Shukra to put his foot on his head when Shukra was telling him to, I'm giving you good advice, don't do what you said, but then put your foot on my head. So that means I will become your slave. I do not fear being deprived of all my possessions, living in hellish life, being arrested for poverty by the ropes of Varuna, or being punished by you, as much as I fear defamation. Although a father, mother, brother, or friend may sometimes punish one as a well-wisher, they never punish you, their subordinate, like this. In other words, Bali is saying to Vaman that I didn't expect this. Punish? Yeah, you should be my well-wisher and punish me. This seems to be a vindictive kind of punishment. But, Bali says, because you are the most worshipable Lord, I regard the punishment you have given me as most exalted, even though I don't understand it. At this point, he doesn't understand it. And Srila Prabhupada quotes in the purport here, Tatenu kampansu samikshamanu. Since your lordship is indirectly the greatest well-wisher of us demons, you act for our best welfare by posing as if our enemy. Because demons like us always aspire for a position of false prestige, by chastising us you give us the eyes by which to see the right path. Many demons who were continuously inimical toward you finally achieved the perfection of great mystic yogis. They're killed by the Lord and they merge into his body. Your lordship can perform one work to serve many purposes, and consequently, although you have punished me in many ways, I do not feel ashamed of having been arrested by the ropes of Varuna, nor do I feel aggrieved. My grandfather, Prahlad Maharaj, is famous, being recognized by all your devotees. Although harassed in many ways by his father, Hiranyakashipu, he still remained faithful, taking shelter at your lotus feet. What is the use of the material body which automatically leaves its owner at the end of life? That's an interesting way to put it. Generally we think the soul leaves the body, but here it said the body leaves the soul, which is actually more correct. Because the soul remains and the body goes. The soul remains, the body leaves. What is the use of all one's family members who are actually plunderers, taking away money that is useful for the service of the Lord in spiritual opulence? What is the use of a wife? She is only the source of increasing material conditions. And what is the use of family, home, country, and community? Attachment for them merely wastes the valuable energy of one's lifetime. My grandfather, the best of all men who achieved unlimited knowledge and was worshipable for everyone, was afraid of the common men in this world. Being fully convinced of the substantiality afforded by shelter at your lotus feet, he took shelter of your lotus feet against the will of his father and demoniac friends, who were killed by your own self. Only by providence have I been forcibly brought under your lotus feet and deprived of all my opulence. Because of the illusion created by temporary opulence, people in general who live under material conditions, facing accidental death at every moment, do not understand that this life is temporary. Only by providence have I been saved from that condition. Shukdev Goswami said, O best of the Kurus, while Bali Maharaj was describing his fortunate position in this way, the most dear devotee of the Lord, Prahlad Maharaj, appeared there like the moon rising in the night time. So we have Prahlad in the fifth canto, prominently in the seventh canto. Here we have him in the eighth canto. Then Bali Maharaj saw his grandfather Prahlad Maharaj, the most fortunate personality whose dark body resembled black ointment for the eyes. His tall, elegant figure was dressed in yellow garments. He had long arms and his beautiful eyes were like the petals of a lotus. He was very dear and pleasing to everyone. Being bound by the ropes of Varuna, Bali Maharaj could not offer befitting respect to Prahlad Maharaj as he had before. Rather, he simply offered respectful obeisances with his head, his eyes being inundated with tears and his face lowered in shame. When the great personality Prahlad Maharaj saw that the Supreme Lord was sitting there surrounded and worshipped by his intimate associates like Sunanda, he was overwhelmed with tears of jubilation. Approaching the Lord and falling to the ground, he offered obeisances to the Lord with his head. Prahlad Maharaj said, "My Lord, it is your lordship who gave this Bali the great opulence of the post of heavenly king, and now today it is you who have taken it all away." So there's seeing the situation from a different perspective. Bali Maharaj was thinking, this was my land to give away. But Prahlad says, no, it's anyway, it's all Vishnu's. And he gave it to Bali and then he took it away again. That's all. It was never Bali's in the first place. For that matter, it was never Indra's. I think you have acted with equal beauty in both ways. Because his exalted position as king of heaven was putting him in the darkness of ignorance, you have done him a very merciful favor by taking away all his opulence. Material opulence is so bewildering that it makes even a learned, self-controlled man forget to search for the goal of self-realization. But the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Narayana, the Lord of the universe, can see everything by his will. Therefore, I offer my respectful obeisances unto him. Shukdev Goswami continued, O King Parikshit, Lord Brahma then began to speak to the Supreme Personality of Godhead within the hearing of Prahlad Maharaj, who stood nearby with folded hands. But Bali Maharaj's chaste wife, afraid and grieving at seeing her husband arrested, immediately offered obeisances to Lord Vamanadev, Upendra. She folded her hands and spoke as follows. So Brahma's getting ready to speak, and all of a sudden, Bali Maharaj's wife just rushes in and butts in. You know, Lord Brahma is about to speak to Bhagavan, and his wife just comes in and Srimati Vindhyavali said, and Bhagavan is very pleased by such behavior, although it's against proper protocol. Oh my Lord! You have created the entire universe for the enjoyment of your personal pastimes, but foolish, unintelligent men have claimed proprietorship for material enjoyment. She's talking about her husband. Indirectly. She doesn't say my husband's a fool. She says anyone who acts like this is a fool. Certainly they are shameless agnostics, falsely claiming proprietorship. They think that they can give charity and enjoy. In such a condition, what good can they do for you who are the independent creator, maintainer, and annihilator of this universe? So she's saying, you want to take charity from him, but he's just a fool, so what's the use of taking charity from him? She's getting on his case also. Lord Brahma said, now I'm going to speak. Lord Brahma said, O well-wisher and master of all living entities, O worshipable deity of all the demigods, O all-pervading personality of Godhead, now this man has been sufficiently punished, for you have taken everything, now you can release him. He does not deserve to be punished more. You're going to send him to hell. Well, that doesn't seem to be quite right. Bali Maharaj had already offered everything to your lordship. Without hesitation, he has offered his land, the planets, and whatever else he earned by his pious activities, including even his own body, by offering even water, newly grown grass, or flower buds at your lotus feet. Those who maintain no mental duplicity, can achieve the most exalted position within the spiritual world. This Bali Maharaj, without duplicity, has now offered everything in the three worlds. How then can he deserve to suffer from arrest? Now he has to answer. Bhagavan has to answer. He's being accused. It's like nowadays the police get accused, right? That didn't used to happen. But the police get accused of wrongly arresting people and so many things. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, "My dear Lord Brahma, because of material opulence, a foolish person becomes dull-witted and mad. Thus he has no respect for anyone within the three worlds and defies even my authority." So actually Bali Maharaj did that by invading the heavenly planets. Indra is put in his position by Bhagavan. That is the proper order of the universe, that Indra should rule. So he defies the authority of Bhagavan. "To such a person I show special favor by first taking away all his possessions. While rotating in the cycle of birth and death again and again in different species because of his own fruitive activities, the dependent living entity by good fortune may happen to become a human being. This human birth is very rarely obtained. If a human being is born in an aristocratic family or a higher status of life, if he performs wonderful activities, if he is youthful, if he has personal beauty, a good education and good wealth, and if he is nonetheless not proud of his opulences, it is to be understood that he is especially favored by the Supreme Personality of Godhead." Although aristocratic birth and other such opulences are impediments to advancement in devotional service because they are causes of false prestige and pride, these opulences never disturb a pure devotee of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Bali Maharaj has become the most famous among the demons and non-believers, for in spite of being bereft of all material opulences, he is fixed in his devotional service. Although bereft of his riches, fallen from his original position, defeated and arrested by his enemies, rebuked and deserted by his relatives and friends, although suffering the pain of being bound, and although rebuked and cursed by his spiritual master, Bali Maharaj, being fixed in his vow, did not give up his truthfulness. "It was certainly with pretension that I spoke about religious principles, but he did not give up religious principles, for he is true to his word. The Lord continued, because of his great tolerance, I have given him a place not obtainable even by the demigods. He will become king of the heavenly planets during the period of the Manu named as Sarvarni." So, he'll become Indra later. "Until Bali Maharaj achieves the position of the king of heaven, he shall live on the planet Sutala, which was made by Vishvakarma, according to my order. Because it is especially protected by me, it is free from mental and bodily miseries, fatigue, dizziness, defeat, and all other disturbances. Bali Maharaj, you may now go live there peacefully." So, Vamana said, "Now, just like your guru said, you're going to have to go down to the lower worlds." So I say, "They're going to send him to hell. They're going to send him to hell." "Yeah, now go down. But I'm going to send you to this place, and it's a beautiful place. It's better than the heavenly planets, and you can go there." So everything's working out nicely now. "O Bali Maharaj, Indrasena, now you may go to the planet Sutala, which is desired even by the demigods. Live there peacefully, surrounded by your friends and relatives. All good fortune unto you. On the planet Sutala, not even the predominating deities of other planets, what to speak of ordinary people, will be able to conquer you. As far as the demons are concerned, if they transgress your rule, my disc will kill them. So no revolution, you demons. No rebellion. O great hero, I shall always be with you and give you protection in all respects along with your associates and paraphernalia. Moreover, you will always be able to see me there, because there you will see my supreme prowess, your materialistic ideas and anxieties that have arisen from your association with the demons and Danavas will immediately be vanquished. That's it. Bali Maharaj surrenders his life. And he is the very example of Atma Nivedana, giving everything to the Supreme Lord. Sri Vamanadev Bhagavan Ki Jai. Bali Maharaja Ki Jai. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Hare Krishna. Oh, question. Yeah.
Guru Maharaj, here in the last verse, Vamanadev says how Bali Maharaj, you know, in the association of the demons, had materialistic ideas and things like that. On the other hand, it was his duty to be the king. It was his duty to be, and in one sense, it was his duty. Was it his duty also to conquer the heavenly kingdoms?
Yeah, he was acting as a good demon king.
So, when a devotee is in that kind of a situation, how can they avoid the influence of their non-devotee relatives, friends, etc.? How do they
may not be able to. They may not be able to avoid the influence. But if you have a good grandfather who's a good, strong devotee, he can help you. Oh, yeah, there I have a case.
Maharaj, we see that when kings fight a dharmic war on this planet, they go to the heavenly realms, you know, by following Dharma. And Virochana was also, you know, he was following Brahmanical culture and he, you know, sacrifices.
He was dharmic, but he was against the demigods. He didn't have the good fortune to be killed by Vishnu himself. But he has the good fortune to be a son of Prahlad and a father of Bali. Virochana is also a name of Vishnu. Means effulgent.
So demons see that by following Brahmanical principles, people like Virochana had lost their life, etc., etc. Why then do
these
demons...
Well, they interpret it differently, don't they? Just like you'll find in Chanakya Niti, he's warning against extremism. And he says, by too much charity, you can be ruined. And he gives the example of Bali Maharaj. They say that this is written by Vyasadeva for the devotees, the Bhagavatam. But if you had the same story written by a demon, you get a different perspective on the same thing. Hare Krishna. Go Premanande.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.